Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know. Masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 786, Ghostbusters 4, if you're a misogynist.
5?
Ghostbusters,
oh, yeah, okay.
5, if you're not.
No, that one's not in continuity. This is 4.
Yeah, no, I was
going to
say,
it's not in continuity for now.
I would consider this 4 because it's not in
I would not
the
be surprised.
The girl one is not in continuity.
They have, because they have the old Ghostbusters playing different characters in that.
Yeah, you know, I would not be surprised if they find a way
to
do a Ghostbusters multiverse.
No.
And they bring in the other 4.
Well, that, depends on how this one does. They might have to.
Yeah, that's true.
That one, I mean, is right or wrong.
Yep.
Wrong. It's
wrong.
It's that's so tainted and toxic.
Sure.
They would never bring it in.
Don't we say that?
It would, no, because these movies are trying to correct.
A major to come around on that as a property.
Did they announce that as like that version as well as a sequel, a legacy sequel, or was the legacy sequel in
response.
It was a response.
Okay, but they didn't announce them at the same time.
If that one did well, they would be the Ghostbusters.
That's fair. If that had worked, we'd be on our third one of those right
That's
now.
True. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it did not.
It did not.
Yeah.
Because fans are dickbags. Not fans.
Yeah.
Not
people.
I mean, I don't like that movie, but it has nothing to do with the being Lady
the
Ghostbusters.
Fine. I like the movie.
I thought, here's my thing. It actually.
Who is this?
No, I'm sorry. Have we started already?
We have started. But
you haven't started yet.
I haven't started yet. Sorry.
No.
Go ahead. What you're saying.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
It remembered that Ghostbusters is a comedy.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, that's the thing where it got it right.
Yes.
Where these new ones, well, this one a little bit got it right. The one before, not so much.
Yeah.
So. Bingo.
Well, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us today is Matt Reedy. Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for
being
here.
Matt Reedy from the Dune 2 letter.
Yes, exactly.
He's like, counterpoint. Might or might not have slept through
that. Actually, my counterpoint wasn't so much a counterpoint. It was an in-between.
It really
you
was.
And, yeah.
But you know what? That episode got a lot of views, so maybe we should talk more about Dune 2. I don't think that's a bad thing.
You know what else got a lot of views? And really quickly. Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, in only a few days, it's over 500-600 views.
Oh,
wow. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, and Priscilla got a lot of views. So
3,600 views.
Those are great.
Do we just want to start off by saying that Slimer is a pedophile?
Oh, I was like, Elvis Presley's a pedophile? You're right.
Maybe Slimer is Elvis's ghost. They never really say.
It would explain the culinary decisions.
That's true. Yeah,
making,
just slime and everybody that comes in contact with them.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking the big pile of fast food and
that's what. Yeah, no, also
yeah.
true.
Yeah, yeah.
It works on both levels. So before we dig in, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, YouTube, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. It's super helpful and it's greatly appreciated and it's good for our wounded egos.
Mm-hmm.
You can also
Egons.
Yes.
Hey.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page. Join the group. The group is called the League of Show Sharers with artwork designed by Matt Reedy.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you will share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Travis Tewitt, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Tom Dowdy, Ralph Tribble, Chris Falls, Phil Timon, Julianne Jordan, Richard Kratzer, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Taylor Ward, Heather Sachs, Corey Tatum, James Install, David Rojas, Colby Mack, Binge Movies, Geek to Me Radio, Mike and Oscar, In Session Film, Ronnie Castle, Matt Niglia, and The Film Bee. So thank you very much. Also, don't forget you can watch all of these on the aforementioned YouTube, and you can support the show if you are so inclined over at Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers. Where 100% of the money goes to Matt F.
Basler. We have to.
Yeah, 100% of the profits. You're 100% correct. All profits go to Matt F. Basler.
Yeah, but the MCU's done. It's in the can. That's finished.
Yeah, we recorded that last week, and we're getting ready for MCU Phase 2. So
no, we did Phase 2. Phase 2 is on the main show. We just didn't do Phase 1.
Someone's trying to turn this into a horror podcast.
Because it is. That's what it is. It's a horror movie podcast. But
there's a lot of stuff on there, a lot of horror and non-horror and interviews, and there's all sorts of stuff, so check that out.
There is one thing that I think we should... I did not mention on the Patreon, and we'll, I guess I can mention. There's going to be a... If you're thinking about joining the Patreon, I recommend it only because since we've wrapped up the MCU, we're going to put a poll up of a bunch of different stuff we can do. The one thing I didn't bring up that I thought about after this is The Crow, like The Crow series. We haven't we haven't covered those.
All
I don't
the
think I've did. I did an audio commentary with local DJ Learn from 105.7 The Point. We did a commentary over the main movie, but I don't think we've ever talked about those given the most recent, I don't know, 50-50 split over the new Crow trailer. I think that might be something that could be kind of fun to go back and revisit. Even the really bad, like, you guys don't even know.
Edward Furlong.
That's crazy. Yeah. There was a TV show. There was a syndicated TV show with Mark Dukakis as Eric Draven. So they bring him.
Do you have to bleep it out when he says Dukakis?
It's questionable.
Yeah,
it's Matt Bukakis.
I don't know if you can say that either.
But he's the guy, if you don't know, he's the from the American version of
he's from Double Dragon.
That's also correct.
He's from Double Dragon. Let's
but
get
I
real.
Think most people probably know him as the host of the American
Chef. Or whatever.
Iron Chef.
Yeah.
So you kids that are complaining about Bill Skarsgård looking like the Crow, go back and watch City of Angels, The Crow Salvation, Wicked Prayer. Don't talk to me about bad-looking Crow movies.
I love it when people complain about, like, you're ruining the original.
No, you're not!
When there's, like, first off, no, the original's still there. Second, there's, like, 45 different ruined versions of the original.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Just forget they exist. Like, that's everyone does with the Smokey and the Bandit made-for-TV movies.
Correct!
There's,
correct.
Like, 8 of those things.
Is there really that many?
I think so.
Smokey is the Bandit?
Well, that's the third one, was going to be the third one. But there's like, they did a whole...
Without Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, they were made for TV movies. They did this thing called the Action Pack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it aired in syndication, and then they would... And every week, it would rotate between different established IPs. And so there was a series of made-for-TV movie sequels to Smokey and the Bandit, and then there was a series of, I think they did Dukes of Hazzard with a whole new thing, and then they did Midnight Run with Shooter McGavin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As like, who?
As
De Niro?
The De Niro character.
That's wild.
Did you hear there's a script for two?
Like
Sandler handed it to Shooter McGavin at a con or something recently, and he said, "Hey, you'll like this." Handed
oh,
it to
Happy Gilmore too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no, thanks.
For Netflix.
No, I mean, I like the first. That's the thing is, you were just talking about it.
I love that first movie. I don't need a second one.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no one needs it. Now Chubbs can't be in it.
That's true.
Like, even as a ghost, remember?
Because I guess you could make him a... I mean, if they brought back Egon in the first movie...
I don't think they're going to bring him back.
It's what Carl Weathers would have wanted.
That's exactly right.
He wants
to
be back as a CG ghost.
Carl Weathers, as long as you're paying my estate.
That's right.
So, but anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in.
Well, before we do, Matt, you know, I think it's... Obviously, this time of March is the real spoilers / review STL birthday week.
Oh, yeah.
So Kevin's is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Blake's was a couple days ago. Yeah. Steve's was yesterday. Dan's was a couple days ago. Mine was on Tuesday.
And I'm in September.
And you're
the only one that's not a March.
But Matt Reedy, I don't know if you can see this on camera, was kind enough to give me a Wolfman's Got Nards sticker from Monster Squad, which is great. I love it so much. Thank you so much,
Jeff Carlson is the artist. I sat up next to him at a convention last year.
I love it.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, boop.
I will say one of the fun things about this community is I have been given, I guess that's not true. I paid
Brad
for that poster. Brad,
but they're looking out for you.
Yes, they're looking at, which I love it so much. So if you don't know this story, Brad, we were literally recording an episode, and Brad Hyen, friend of the show, was at a convention, and a guy had a rolled theater used Monster Squad poster. And he was like, do you want this? And I was like, how much is he asking for? And he was like, $25. I was like, buy it. Like, buy it now and I'll pay you for it. And I have that framed in my new house.
For an actual theater poster, $25 is pretty good.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. But like, you know, sometimes you get the, like, it's theater used, but you can feel the paper stock is like, that's not
right.
But I touching that one, I was like, that's
a one sheet's thick.
Yes.
Like, and slick.
Yes. And they're almost thick and slick. They're see through. Like, well, they have to have,
because,
like,
they put behind the light.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
The old ones were
double-sided,
but the other side was in reverse.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, like, my Superman Returns poster, that's just the S, like, just for the record, because it's a cool-looking poster, is just like that. Mm. And my Halloween Returns poster is like that, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thank you so much, Matt. This is so good. It's good. I love that movie.
Awesome.
Okay, let's dig into Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
I had a lot of fun at this movie. I thought it was light. I just don't.
Glad someone did.
Yeah, I just.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Like, that's where I landed. I'm like, it's fine.
Like, I wasn't mad that I spent money and bought popcorn.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Where
it was,
I'm at.
It was fine, but
this is a really good live action adaptation of the cartoon.
Yes.
Thank you. That was my exact thought. Yeah, I was like, this is an episode of the real Ghostbusters, but overstuffed.
But there's this weird thing happening with Ghostbusters where I feel like each one of these is an overcorrection to something that happened before, right? So I think there's two good Ghostbusters movies. I think Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters Afterlife are the two good movies. I think the second one's bad. I think this one's okay.
It's weird. The second one, to me,
the second one's like, the first half of it is good.
Yeah.
And then it just loses the thread.
It goes wackadoo.
It's so boring. You don't see a ghost for 30 minutes in the second one.
Here's the thing,
though. It's so boring.
I don't care.
The ending is a retread of the first one.
And so is this one.
But instead of fighting a giant... a marshmallow man, they fight a giant Statue of Liberty.
It's the same. Yeah.
But they were the Statue.
They were the Statue.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, but still,
but visually, it's
big,
the same
giant creature.
Right. Yes. And also, it's like coming off the first one, and then all of a sudden, it's like everyone hates the Ghostbusters and doesn't believe they're real. And
okay, so that's, I mean, I'm not defending it, but like, that is a lazy sequel trope that you see in almost every sequel from that, right? They don't continue a story.
Yeah.
It's like they because they didn't plan to make a bunch of them. Like, this is the upside to movies always planning for sequels these days. There's a story. They try to lay the groundwork, but original people, they never thought they'd make more Ghostbusters. Sure. It was going to be one and done, and they move on to the next thing. And so all your problems, all your conflict is resolved.
Yeah.
And so then to create conflict, they always end up busting up the team and destroying the magic of the first one,
like this one,
because you spend the bulk of the movie with the people you loved hanging out together being mad at each other and not hanging out.
I don't like it.
You see it all the time.
You're absolutely
in sequels from that
era. It's, think of all the Rocky movies. They always have to have a contrivance to make him the underdog,
right?
You know, he comes out on top, but something's got to knock him back down to zero.
For sure.
And then every time.
Honestly, in the Rocky movies, though, that's not terrible. You know,
there's always someone stronger that comes and challenges.
Or younger.
Or younger. Yeah.
Which, but or Russianer.
Yeah. Russianer.
Yeah. But so, and I think the other problem with Ghostbusters 2 was the advent of CGI.
Yeah.
And so in the original Ghostbusters,
he is Viggo.
There, it's all practical for the most. I mean, Slimer's not, but
sure.
Like,
no, he's a puppet.
Is he a puppet?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a puppet in the new movie, too, for some of the scenes.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. But, like, it's basically all practical. When she's levitating on that bed, they're doing magic.
Right. Yeah.
Right? That's a magic trick
that
they're filming. And because of that, Bill Murray would be there, and he would riff. But with Ghostbusters 2, they start doing CGI, and then they're not together.
Yeah.
And it loses that comedy
in
chemistry.
In the moment.
Which, in my estimation, the franchise has never gotten back.
Well, I don't think we've talked about this before. Is that era of writing is over, right? Like, they're not. You don't have comedy writers writing comedies anymore. You have writers who are trying to throw in funny stuff. So, you know, Ivan Reitman, and I would consider Judd Apatow, guys that could write funny stuff.
Harold Ramis
is a great example.
And Judd Apatow would let funny comedic actors be funny.
Do their thing.
And then
sometimes for a little bit too long.
Yeah, sure.
But
yeah. but and then edit it together
and
get you the best of it. And that's not what they're doing here. And
no.
What's really weird is I get the vibe that they did do it.
Oh.
And then they didn't use any of it.
Hmm. Interesting.
Like, there are moments that feel like someone's riffing a little bit. I like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I think the Paul Rudd busted makes me feel good.
Like, that was great.
I think that was just Paul Rudd being Paul Rudd.
That's probably the best line in the movie.
Honestly. And I don't think that was in the script.
Well, I think this is the biggest problem. Well, here, there's two main complaints I have. The one thing is, the old Ghostbusters, this is such a nostalgia fest, but the old Ghostbusters wrapped it up perfectly in Afterlife.
Yeah.
Stop trying to ham fist in nostalgia with old Ghostbusters.
I don't even mind Ray. I like the idea of Ray.
Ray's the best part of the movie, but I'm just saying the whole,
agreed,
let's get them back suited up and busted ghosts. We did that.
We
had a touching moment. Egon was there as a ghost. Like, they finalized that. Have Ray be doing his spiritual stuff, whatever, and guiding them and guiding McKenna Grace. That's fine. But stop being like, oh, we have to suit them up. Like, I get it. You love them, and they're not going to be around forever. I get why they want to do it, but it just slows the movie down to a screeching halt.
And it doesn't have the impact that it did in
Afterlife. It does not.
No, they're undermining it because they got together for Afterlife, and they got
it. I even think if you do if you put Ray in Ray's role, I think that works perfectly because that's who Ray was, right?
And Dan Aykroyd, I haven't seen him be this good in a long time.
No.
Like, I thought he did some good acting in this
but
movie.
I think having Ernie Hudson as the philanthropist,
businessman.
I'm fine with
have
that.
Them doing
having
Nick Fury of Ghostbusters.
Yes, right. Having Bill Murray in that one little snippet, I think, is also fine.
Right.
Right? But having them all come back at the end.
It's just, they should all be graduated. They're not Ghostbusters anymore. You have Ray do the shop thing, Ernie be the real estate guy, Bill Murray doing whatever he does, and he pops in. But to keep having to bring them back to do the thing.
Is it William Atherton?
This is my biggest argument or complaint with this movie. Is there's too many Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. There's too many characters.
Way too many. I mean, you have the new team.
Oh,
you have the old team. But then you have now this third team of Winston's people, which are
they've got the kids from the last one.
They had some excuse to move those kids from.
Why are they in New York,
Oklahoma?
Why are those two kids in New York?
Yeah,
like, really, they're kids.
They got an internship.
Yeah, he's at space camp.
But why couldn't they have just left them there? And they don't have to be in this.
Well,
movie.
Because Podcast was a very popular character.
Was he?
I
thought he was great.
Yeah.
But I don't need him in every movie.
And what about the other new guy? I can't even remember his name.
I have no idea who that
the guy with the accent.
Yeah,
the guy that looks like cartoon Egon.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. That was my thought. I was like, they got cartoon Egon here. They shortened his hair a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't even put that together until you just
said
that. I'm not
quite sure what he brought to this.
This is the problem with this movie. Paul Rudd, Gary Gruberson, Carrie Coon, Callie Spangler, Finn Wolfhard, Trevor Spangler, McKenna Grace, Phoebe Spangler, Kumail Nanjiani, and Nadeem Razami, Patton Oswalt, Dr. Hubert Wartsky, Celeste O'Connor, Lucky, Logan Kim, Podcast, Emily Allen Lynn, not Jenna Ortega, James A. Caster, British Egon, not Egon guy, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, Annie Potts, William Atherton, And then, I mean, but those are like the main characters, but they just try to show you all of them so much. This movie's sub 2 hours. You have that many characters. It's too much and nothing, no one gets
first
the
off,
time.
It should be sub 2 hours.
Agreed. It's fine, but you shove this many characters, divide that by each one and try to give them,
you know, back to the funny stuff is if you watch the trailer, that scene in the mayor's office with William Atherton is totally different.
In the first one.
In the trailer.
In the first Ghostbusters.
No, this one. This one. He's talking about this one.
Yeah.
Is it really?
It's totally different because they're doing this whole thing where they think, like, they're pretending like it's court, and then Finn Wolfhard is like, he's like, objection, sustained, thank you. And it's like, and it's actually, it's an amusing little back and forth.
Yeah.
And none of it's in the movie.
This one is so lame.
Which goes back to why I think they were like, they let Paul Rudd be Paul Rudd, and then they didn't use any of it.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. Like, I mean, that guy is a tested...
Paul Rudd is legit funny.
Yes. Like,
and
always.
And I think he's a great addition to this movie, and I hope one day they use him.
Yeah. Like, he should have been in way more scenes in this movie. The parents disappear.
This is definitely...
Actually, a lot of characters disappear. Were they filming Stranger Things
at the same time? They must have been.
Ben Wolfhard just disappeared with no explanation.
And like half of his scenes are him by himself?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes.
Him and Slimer?
Yeah. We'll talk about this. This movie is like... You know, Phoebe, played by McKenna Grace, who is good. I like her stuff with Dan Aykroyd. They should have been the main ones that you saw. But they're like, hey, you're too young. You can't be a Ghostbuster. But Phil and Wolfhard can be. But let's not show him for half the movie. It's like, why didn't they do that to the character? Finn, you can't for some reason be a Ghostbuster. Oh, he's not in the movie anymore.
But it is, is definitely Phoebe's movie. Like, this is, she's the center character. And they did it again. They did it again where it's like, just pull the fucking trigger, will ya? Like, they are definitely the ghost who I thought was Chloe Grace Moretz for a long time.
I thought she looked just like Jenna Ortega, but I'm like, that doesn't sound like Jenna Ortega.
You know who she is? She's in Dr. Sleep. She's the one, like, she's the one that we see Rebecca Ferguson recruit. The gal from, like, the movie theater who was, like, she's always, like, she was killing... pedophiles.
Oh, okay.
That's who that is.
She was in a movie with Jenna Ortega, which I thought was a funny coincidence. It's a babysitter or something. You would have probably known.
That's the one with Samara Weaving?
Yes. Samara Weaving, Jenna Ortega, and
is she the
ghost in this movie.
Jenna Ortega's in The Babysitter?
It said, Emily Allen Lind plays Melody, the ghost that has this romantic kind of
they're
like.
Absolutely.
They're trying
into
to say
each
Phoebe
other. Like,
is
just
gay. They're
do
not.
It.
But like, I think this movie has so much backlash from the bad fans, which I'm not saying means they shouldn't.
I hear
but
you.
With the female Ghostbuster and
but
the
then
toxic
don't do
fans.
It. Then don't do it.
Let them be friends or let it be.
Do it or don't.
And you wonder if maybe they did and they cut it.
They did. There's that scene when she's a spirit.
Get into the movie.
We are not that far removed from the first Ghostbusters. We've got this new team of Ghostbusters. Just to touch on that real quick. If they're not going to pull the trigger on the McKenna Grace thing, pull the trigger on Carrie Coon and Paul Rudd. Like, they have these interactions where it's definitely... alluded that they're a couple, but they don't, like, there's no loving embraces, there's no, like, they just went through some like, maybe,
but
you
they're totally a couple,
you want to smooch a little
I mean
bit.
He
they're,
wouldn't be trying to position himself as the stepdad
dad,
if they weren't a couple,
which
but,
was fine, but it just seemed like I don't know if they, like,
don't
they weren't clicking
seem like a couple
at all,
but yeah, I will
at
yeah,
all
I will grant you that.
So they're busting ghosts, like, that's what they're doing now. The
Spanglers are the new Ghostbusters team.
Yes.
And which is fine. So the movie should have been about the Spanglers,
yes,
the Ghostbusters being the Ghostbusters, and not half the movie about the old Ghostbusters trying to be, and the new Ernie Hudson team being Ghostbusters. It's like, this team was great. The dynamic from Afterlife, and they could have had a lot of fun with them, the family, going around and doing this thing.
Yeah.
And putting together a new team.
Yeah. That's exactly
it. Why did
they
do it? They set it up so that they could be like, yeah, but, you know, these Ghostbusters over here.
our team are chasing down the Jersey Turnpike sewer ghost or something. And McKenna Grace has... I envision, like, this is who Egon was when he was younger, right? Just the kind of headstrong, I'm smarter than everybody in the room.
The Hell's Kitchen sewer dragon.
There we go. Thank you. So they're chasing this ghost, and she, you know, kicks out of the suicide door. And I do like, we talk about the comedy, and I do like this interaction between everybody in the car where it's like, it's hot in here, the air conditioning's not working, and now the window's not working, and McKenna Grace kicks the door open, and they're all freaking out that she's riding in the suicide
seat. This is dumb. What is the point of having her hair there with a proton pack, with a car that does cool stuff that you can go out the side, if she's not planning on doing it? They're like, don't, you can't do that. That's dangerous. It's like, you're sitting, she's sitting in the gunner seat with the proton pack.
If they
pack.
Didn't want her to do that, they should
How have else had do you catch sit, the yeah. ghost? That's right. the chair. Yeah. That's the part that gets out and catches
See,
the ghost.
Well, they have a lot of other tools to catch a ghost. They've got the drone. They've got the thing that drops out from the bottom. I took it as just traffic was too tight.
And that's what I took
she
it
couldn't,
as.
She couldn't open the door.
Right. She. Well, they do that when she, eventually when they catch the ghost and she gets, you know.
But they don't want her to open the door. Right.
Well, yeah, because traffic. Because
traffic is too tight. I would say that was my
about having it's because
it wasn't about you can't do it because you're young. Okay. It was
don't do that. You're going to get taken
traffic
out by a car.
Is too gotcha. Tight. We're okay. in Manhattan, and that was the least amount of traffic I've ever seen in Manhattan.
Yeah, I thought they were babying her, and I'm like,
no, she's
a Ghostbuster with a proton pack. Like, let her use the.
No,
door.
I think I agree with Tom. I think they were like, the traffic is awful. Don't
because I'm like, this is not the appropriate situation to use that particular mechanism.
Which is weird. Okay, so they drive around in New York all the time,
right?
When else are you going to do that?
I don't know.
Okay.
So they rebuilt that car in Oklahoma where you could do that. And
the, yeah, yeah, that's true. That's right. A good point.
Oh, the regular, it didn't do that before?
No, they.
No, didn't they, Ghostbusters always have a gunner seat?
No.
No.
I don't think they
made that up for the last
that
movie.
That was an afterlife thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They did that so they could sell new toys.
Yes.
What? Oh, you know, maybe I'm thinking of the Turtles. I was thinking that there was always a door that kicked open, but I guess I'm thinking of the Turtle Mobile.
No, because
that had something like that.
The old Ecto-1, I mean, it just had like the. The only cool thing that it had was that where you would put the casket, they would pull that out, and that's where the proton packs were.
Okay, fair enough.
So they destroy part of they catch the monster, but they destroy parts of the proton packs are taking out parts of the building.
If they're this is the thing is like this movie, like you know we're talking about like in during Love Lies Bleeding, if you're not liking a movie, you start asking all sorts of questions. So I'm finally asking after 4 Ghostbusters movies. How come the ghosts are monsters? Why aren't they all people?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
And again, harkens back to the cartoon where they weren't people ghosts for the most part. They were kooky creature ghosts that they can make toys for.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, because the spirits are like demon. I mean, there's a lot of demons that are possessing people too. So it's not really
Well, I think of that scene in the second Ghostbusters when they're like, the Titanic just showed up and it's all of like, you know, ghostly people, like kind of like the Disney ride. Mm-hmm.
Haunted Mansion.
Like walking off of the and they would look kind of like gnarly and waterlogged or whatever. But
and Cheech is there for no reason.
Oh, he's there for a reason. Like they paid him. Like,
well, but he was there to be like, is that the Titanic? That's it. So it's like, okay.
Oh, Ron Jeremy's in the first one.
Where?
He's an extra. He's in the crowd scene towards the end as they're saving the day. Like I think you can maybe only see him on the widescreen version.
Okay,
but like he's standing behind one of the barricades. But
that's
Ron
hilarious.
Jeremy is in the first Ghostbusters.
But this is Cheech, a very famous comedian at the time, in a speaking role.
Ron Jeremy is pretty famous to some people. Just saying.
I think a cameo is different than I questioned. They got Cheech to come and say one line in the movie was kind of weird. But
what's so they go back to the mayor's office, and of course it's not going to be Lenny. Lenny, I'm sure, is long dead at this point. But it's William Atherton.
Well, I also don't think he would be mayor for 40 consecutive years.
Maybe. Yeah. If he does a good job. I don't know. We've had mayors in this city that were mayors for way too long. Yeah. It shouldn't have been. But it's William Atherton as, and I don't remember his character's name.
Walter Peck.
Yeah. Which again is one of the.
Dickless.
I thought was a great line in this one where they're at the end of the movie and everybody's like, yeah, Ghostbusters. And you hear somebody in the background go, yeah, cheer for him, Dickless.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah,
I heard that, but the crowd knew. But it also, like, why would somebody in the crowd know that?
Well, I think
it was a private conversation held in the mayor's office 42 years ago.
Well, and
maybe
that,
it passed down as legend.
Yeah, like
that,
it's just fan service.
That's exactly. But I also think it's like some, you know, you could say it's somebody in the crowd just calling him Dickless. Mm. But that's the problem I had with this movie.
Yeah,
I don't mind fan service when it's done right.
Yeah.
You know, like Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be fan service central.
But that's what that movie is.
That's
right?
My
point. The character is zany and
that's
meta.
That's
very
tongue-in-cheek.
Okay. Spider-Man.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, Norway Home.
Yeah.
Right? That's the one. That, like that fan service was off the charts great.
And it's written into the story.
But it's the plot, the point of the movie.
This is like when they're walking through the new Ghostbusters headquarters and the one girl is in the background using the gun from Ghostbusters 2. I'm just like, why? Why would they be using the goop from Ghostbusters 2?
They still use the same phone from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I had a laugh too when I saw that. I almost thought they were going to make a joke about that. Do they still have traditional analog landlines in New York? Is everything still VoIP?
They're still landlines.
But hasn't everything flipped to VoIP? Would it work?
Oh, that's I don't know.
I don't know.
I know where I work, they had to pull out all the phones because we switched from landlines to VoIP. So I still have what would perceptually look like a landline,
right?
But the old phones wouldn't work, and I had to get new phones. So I'm like, the
rotary phone.
I mean, my grandma has a landline. I'm sure that they still have landlines there.
For a business, that just seems.
You know, I wonder. Right. I do wonder, but though, since it's a firehouse.
Good point.
Yeah.
Like, you know? I wonder if they is kind of like a, in case this doesn't work, we've got this backup.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. But that was my biggest problem with this movie.
But it's Easter egg the movie again. Easter, we talk about Mario, where it's like it's just cramming Easter egg after Easter egg. Fan service when done organically is fine. You love to see it when it's not hitting you over the head. But when a whole movie is made,
Harold Ramis ghost in the last one
works
was great.
Yes,
total fan service. But like you got,
but it's part of the story.
The worst one in this one for me was the library ghost.
I thought the same.
Oh yeah,
it might as well just turn to the camera and wink like.
Yeah. Huh? Not only the library ghost, but then the guy who runs the library.
Yeah.
You know, like all that.
Hey, remember me?
Yeah, right.
Oh, he should be retired
by
now.
Okay, first of all, I don't remember that guy, and I couldn't tell you who that was, and I don't remember him in the second one.
He's in the first one.
Okay, but I knew that because he stopped and they winked at the camera.
Yeah. Might as well have been a neon sign over him saying, remember me from first movie.
Yeah, that kind of thing is like, oh, come on.
Yeah. So
make him a part of the plot where something funny happens in the library, and he's like, quiet. You know what I mean? Like, don't walk up and be like, hey, you guys.
Or even have him say, oh, no, not again.
Right.
And then.
But like part of the action. But not when they're walking in. He's like, hey.
Yeah.
Remember
but the
me?
Fact that they did the library ghost like scene for scene from the first movie. Yeah. It's like, come on, man.
Well, and this this is the thing I think that hurts this movie is it's written by Jason Reitman and Gail Kenan.
Right.
And directed by Gail Kenan.
Who wrote the first movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Who wrote it? Right. He wrote it with him. Yeah. I think that, you know, writing, but he's not as strong of a director as Jason Reitman.
No. And does Jason Reitman, I also understand from Jason Reitman's point of view, he's like, I don't want to.
He doesn't want to be tied up with all these. He did Afterlife. He set it up wonderfully.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Great memory for his dad. And like he set it up, but I just don't think Gil has, as good, you know, I mean, I like the guy. I've met him. He's nice. He's directed Monster House, is a good kids movie. Mm-hmm. City of Ember, he remade Poltergeist in 2015.
Which is not a good movie.
Which got a very bad reviews. Yeah. And so I think a lot of people are like, why did they pick him to direct this?
I mean, I think it's the...
He directed an 80s ghost movie.
He wrote the original successful reboot.
And I get it, you know, and he earned his chance, but he's just not as good as Jason Reitman, unfortunately. And
yeah, also the script's not very good.
Yeah.
Like, and
well, they wrote it, which is weird. The two of them wrote both of them.
Look, man.
Which I can't really explain.
There are... There are people who are writers who work in when they're writing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so when he wrote this in, what, 84?
Aykroyd?
First one.
Aykroyd and Ramis wrote the first one, right?
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Reitman didn't write it.
Oh, okay. No, okay.
He directed it.
Okay. Yes. Right. But so, okay. So we'll take Aykroyd, for example, right? He has the comedy stylings of somebody from the late 70s, early 80s. Now, I think it's insanely hard to take that same style and transfer it to 2024 because comedy is different. And I don't know that version of comedy would work in 2024. Right. So, and I think this guy's kind of in the same boat.
Everybody's woke.
That's I got to tell you, though, you're not totally wrong.
Yeah.
Do you like, hear now people online are complaining that Sydney Sweeney was forced to do a woke Nun movie, you know, the one she produced and got made because she wanted to do it. Apparently Hollywood forced her into because she was being adopted by the anti-woke crowd and they had to put her in her place.
So they made this movie in the 3 weeks after that happened.
yeah
You know what I like, I just read an interview with her where she said they were talking about
Madame Web
and how she was like, I have my foot in the door at Sony.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fucking brilliant.
I told Tom that she's going to be the next Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, obviously both two beautiful, talented people, but not just good looks. Margot Robbie is a producer. She's produced very smart. Barbie.
I don't think Sydney Sweeney, from what I've seen thus far, has the acting chops of Margot Robbie.
No. But she's got the star power.
She's got the star power and the business
and acumen. the business sense, right? And so she's like, you know what? Madam Web was a job. I did my job and I got connections to make that other movie
and
that made tons of money.
Nobody's going to blame her for Madam Web.
Oh. They can't because she's in it for all of like 10 minutes.
Right. Absolutely. Like nobody was like, this is the new Sydney Sweeney movie.
Right.
No. So it doesn't matter if
it was kind of weird that they didn't market it that way.
I think
she has nothing.
I think
to do
if
with
it had came out 4 weeks later, they would have.
Oh, because her star kind of took off.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I think they had kind of already locked in their marketing plan.
Well, she had that rom-com was really high.
Yeah. But it was a slow burn.
Oh,
well, like it was good. I watched it.
Yeah, it was solid, but it didn't come out and make $100 million opening weekend.
Yeah, it's been doing it.
It just
slowly
kept making
$10
million a week.
Pulled up my Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I actually bought it new for $23. I didn't usually do that.
I liked it a lot. It was very funny.
Yeah, it was good.
You can't put those two people in a movie anymore. Like, they are both too good looking.
I think they just filmed one together.
Did they really?
I think they filmed one like simultaneously.
It's like Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. Like,
I think that's the plan. Is that they're not going to make sequels, but they're going to make spiritual sequels.
Yeah. They're
going to
do the
and they're going to keep pairing them up
road like, movies. Like,
well, who was it? Was
like Hepburn and Tracy?
But it was.
I mean, I'm going to get struck down for comparing those two to Hepburn and Tracy.
But it's the same model.
How about Runaway Bride?
Yeah.
Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan
and Sandler and Drew Barrymore?
Yeah, that kind of thing. I'm pretty sure they worked on something like right after or simultaneously or whatever, so they're gonna have
it. Was it McConaughey and Kate Hudson? Did they do a bunch
of
stuff together?
Yeah, they did a couple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than one?
I think they did.
I think so.
I don't know.
I don't know.
William Atherton's like, finally I can take down the Ghostbusters. It's like, bro, that is a grudge, my friend.
40-year-old.
Yeah.
Who knew that being a middle manager at the EPA was a rocket ship to becoming mayor of New York?
It has been 40 years. And, you know, we all know people like Walter Peck who just
fail upwards,
suck until they get to where they need to get, you know?
Here's the thing. He's not wrong.
He's also not wrong.
Well, all of his complaints wrong. About a 15-year-old girl shooting a proton pack through and
his
carrying
complaints in the first one are wrong.
Yeah, it was 100%
true.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
Well, in the first one, he looked at them as they're con artists. He thought they were making it up.
But he's also
case, he
like, this stuff isn't safe. If what you're doing is true, we don't know that any of this is safe.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, also funny that he. Right, because in the first one, he goes into the firehouse
and
he
shuts it all down.
And then that sets everything off. It's like, but you saw it, and now it's happening again.
Yeah.
Which
was he in the second movie? I can't even remember.
I'm sure he must have.
I don't think he was in the second
one. I honestly don't remember.
Because it's some other guy that's trying to shut him down.
You think they really... Oh, maybe.
But they were already shut down at the beginning of the second one.
Yeah.
It was fallout from the Marshmallow Man disaster. They got sued for
no, but they
the
but
city.
But when they when stuff happens again, they're like back, and then there's another guy that's trying to.
Man,
is that
even,
right?
Mm-hmm. I don't even remember. I haven't watched it.
He is Viggo. That's what I remember from that movie.
Yeah, the Ghostbusters come back and start doing commercials and stuff, and there's a guy in the wings working for the mayor's office. That's like trying. He's an actor you'd know, a character actor. I just don't know what his
that
name
is. One of the things that I do that I thought was we talk about fan service that I thought was brilliant in this movie is the fact that they take all of the marketing from Ghostbusters and they play it in this as like the Ghostbusters parlayed their fame or whatever into the toys and the cereals.
But they kind of do that too, don't they?
No, I thought it was the reverse.
They do with the music video and the commercials, but they don't with toys. And I do like that at this point, it's toys and cereal, the real stuff.
But
I
like that a lot.
This movie made clear that the second movie's canon because they showed the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the second movie the idea that they were all washed up because... You know, everybody blamed him for ruining the city covered with marshmallow goo.
The second movie I think is stupid because they shouldn't have. Why couldn't they have just been
and
Ghostbusters?
They were reduced doing to doing children's parties and stuff like that, if I remember.
Yes.
That makes me wonder where all the marketing, at what point in time, in this movie,
post,
they show the cereal and the.
I would guess post, the stuff we didn't know. That makes sense.
Okay.
Because they walked the Statue of Liberty using a Nintendo controller.
They were heroes again.
Sure. Okay.
So yeah, so the Atherton's like, you're out, and then everybody kind of is in agreement.
He basically says like Phoebe's too young.
She's 15. We're not even paying her. He's like, oh, so now we've got child labor laws to worry about.
That didn't make any sense either, because it's not labor. She's not. They're not paying.
Not paying her.
yeah.
But she's working. That's slave labor.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be like, that's slave, human trafficking.
Is it slave labor when you tell your kids to take the trash out?
I was going
to
say it's a chore.
Busting ghosts is a chore.
But I think it's point. Slave labor if you own a restaurant and make them wait tables. Yeah.
Well, good point.
Maybe.
If it's a money-making operation.
Here's your allowance.
Yeah. So I did like that part, though, where Paul Rudd's like, I got this. And he goes and makes it worse. And she's like, I think you need to come back here.
But also, I do also like... Overall, like I said, I did enjoy this movie. I had a good time watching it.
I want an old-timey Ghostbusters prequel, because when they went to 1902 Firehouse or whatever, like the movie opens with what will be like the impetus of this movie is that there's this crazy demon creature trapped in this orb that these like the fire-wielding people,
firewalkers or whatever,
could control, and they trapped him in this orb. And so you see it in like the old-timey, they're out of the firehouse, there's like the old fire wagon.
It would be fun to see
that.
Like an old west wild west Ghostbusters, but not wild west with
but they were just firefighters. But I was like, are these going to be the first Ghostbusters?
I thought it was gonna be
like an old-timey Ghostbusters before the, and I thought that would be fun to watch.
But like, I like the fact that Paul Rudd, you know, in the first one, he's their teacher, right? Mm-hmm. And we're past that. And it's definitely, we've said before that he and Carrie Coon are a couple.
Yeah.
And
moving to New York together.
I do like that he's trying to figure out, like, I don't, and he vocalizes it. He's not just being like, I don't know what I'm doing, and doesn't talk to anybody, but he talks to Carrie Coon. He's like, I don't know what the line is here.
Yeah.
And I like that idea where instead of having this fake conflict, again, we talked about it in Love Lies Bleeding, where rather than have this conflict that nobody talks about and have that be a plot point, they do that here too, where he's like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Like, do I go too hard? Do I want to be their best friend? And she gives him, she's like, do it.
And this is kind of a funny scene where he was like, I will be nice to you, but mean to your kid.
Yeah,
she's
like, yes, that's exactly what I want.
Every scene with Paul Rudd is funny. He's a funny guy. Put him in more of the movie.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I liked in those moments where she kind of snaps back, not snaps, but like quips back at him. And I was like, yes, like this is what the Ghostbusters was.
He's like, I'm going to be nice to you and a dick to your kids.
She goes, yeah, that's exactly what I want. Perfect. Yeah, perfect. McKenna Grace gets sidelined. Now what I thought was going to happen here, she goes to Central Park to play chess. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to
be Egon.
I thought it was too. Yeah.
And I was glad they didn't.
I don't know.
He passed on.
He moved on.
His business was closed. You brought him back, like, again, they used that trick. It pulled at your heartstrings.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
They can't keep doing it.
I disagree.
These knee-jerk responses.
This movie says that they can keep doing it.
They keep doing lots of things they can't keep doing.
Yeah,
so.
But they didn't with that one. And
right.
I'm glad they didn't, because that's unfinished. But so she goes, and then she meets this ghost girl.
Who I assume burned her family alive. Like,
wasn't that what they were hitting at?
That's what I thought too.
She was playing with matches
and set her family on fire.
I didn't take it as purpose.
No, yes, yes.
She was messing around, and then now it's her guilt of that happening is why she can't.
Yes, can't move.
Did they say when this had happened?
No. Mm-mm.
Because I thought they were trying to insinuate that this happened a long time ago, but as a ghost, she looked like somebody who died like yesterday.
She looks like a modern. I got the vibe that it was supposed to be a long time ago.
She's not dressed that way.
But she did not dress or
talk that way.
Herself in that manner.
Yeah. Hmm. So she basically, you know, they have this, they're playing chess together, and there's definitely some tension. Like, McKenna Grace, who is still kind of, Egon always kind of did have that nerdy, like weird, standoffish kind of character, and she adopts that. She's got the same hair as Egon. It's all the same.
I think she's really good in both movies. I wish
she's
that
great.
They would have just given her
she's
more
actually,
focus.
She's actually, she's in this movie. I don't know if anybody ever talks about it. It's the movie that Chris Evans met Jenny
Slate
on, where McKenna Grace plays his niece, and she's like a genius, and Chris Evans is trying to keep her away from people figuring out that she's a genius, but they're anyway. But she's
is this
insane.
The one had superpowers?
No, like
that's Captain America.
No. No, another one.
No,
different one.
Push. What, no. Is it? Oh. But this is it's a cute little rom com kind of movie. Rom com drama, I guess that's kind of the way I would describe it. And she's in that, but she's a little girl in that, and she's great in that. Like, she's very, very good. It's interesting to see her in other interviews because she is not like...
She doesn't look like Egon.
She doesn't look like Egon at all. She's got, like, long blonde hair, and but she's of, you know...
She's a good actor.
Okay. She is a good actor.
By the way, the first scene where they take off without her, you know, they all get in the car, like, you know, and you have to stay behind. Something really weird, and my wife noticed it too, when she's standing watching the, you know, upset because she watches her, there's somebody walking around in the background.
Oh, and, really?
And, yeah, in the firehouse. And I was like, who is that? What was
that's
that?
Funny.
Another ghost?
It must have been an extra. It must have been like, it must have been.
Oh, I guess it could have been Janine.
No, no, it wouldn't have made any sense. Why
she's
she
another one
it
where
like,
it's like.
It was just some guy walking around back there. I think it was a crew member and they left him in
the scene. But take out Janine, take out Bill Murray. You know, you just don't need
the
these
Bill
characters.
Murray thing is, I think that's, I don't, the initial time we see Bill Murray, what is when Camille Njami's got like the colander on his head. I don't mind that because like it gives Bill Murray a paycheck and he gets to sit down, do a little quippy stuff, and then he's out.
Right. But that's but they don't really move.
They've
the
not
story.
Made any advancement in that technology.
No,
in 40 years.
No, you know why? Because you have to have nostalgia for the one from the.
It is interesting that they don't bring back Rick Moranis.
He doesn't want to do it.
He doesn't want to do it
at all.
No. Well, he was retired for years. His wife died. He retired to raise his kids, and then now he says he's not retired, but he's very selective.
Yeah,
and
but I guess so, if he can be,
he's not taking paychecks.
Isn't he doing
well,
a Honey?
He did. He agreed to make a Honey I Shrunk the Kids sequel, but it's been a TV show. It's been stuck in production.
Oh,
but they were gonna do some sort of Honey. It was just gonna be called Shrunk.
No, is that really it?
Yeah. Oh. Which sounds like the Broadway musical version of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
By the way, I would argue that he's the funniest part of the first movie.
It is not a far jump to leap.
I was supposed to be John Candy.
Is that right?
Is that?
Yeah. I did not
know. Wow. That would have been very different.
And he's funny in the second movie. Like, he's good.
Oh, yeah. I think Rick Moranis is underrated.
Yeah.
Like, I think that guy, because he's been gone for so long, people forget.
Yeah.
Like Strange Brew.
I grew up with watching
Strange Brew.
Oh,
so
God.
No point in staring now, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's so funny.
I honestly,
his line.
I put Strange Brew, like, up there with Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
Like, and I, because those two movies, oh, man, I could watch those movies all the time. So good. They're so
good. Roller.
Mr. Mom's great, too.
Mr. Mom is.
Yeah. Megan, you're making me crazy. That's what you're making me.
So flash forward to Raise a Cult
Can we just
books.
Talk about Mr. Mom?
Oh, yeah. Raise a Cult
Kumail Nanjiani comes in, and he's selling his grandma's old...
He is
old...
great.
Yeah. He's the best part of this movie,
He's the
I think.
Only guy who
who's
knows
telling jokes.
What movie he's
yes,
in.
Yes,
yep.
Yes,
he's
thank you.
He's funny.
And a lot of complaints are like, he seems like he's in a different movie. Yes, he's in the good
he's
movie.
In the good he's in the movie it's supposed movie. To be.
He is so funny. He's so charismatic. He's so genuinely funny.
The Ghostbusters that I would like to see is Paul Rudd, Camille Nanjiani, McKenna Grace, and you could throw any of those guys, you know, Zac Efron. I mean, like any of those guys who have the comedic chops.
Yeah.
I know, there was a period of time when they were going to reboot it and it was going to be like,
it was the
Seth Rogen, Michael Cera,
Bill Hader.
Yeah. And I'm like,
the
that would have been great.
Yeah. 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 It absolutely would have been great. And I think
they would have told jokes.
Well, they would have riffed.
I don't want to bring this up again. The female led one. They did exactly that. They brought in female comedians.
Mm-hmm.
They told jokes.
But it was
although oddly enough, the funniest character was Chris Hemsworth. Which is kind of weird.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It shouldn't be. You've got the
But that's
movie.
More an attest to his talents.
Yeah. But I said it on our episode. I'm like, funniest part of that movie was Chris Hemsworth. His lines killed
every time.
And they were improv. He was quick. He's good.
Yeah, he's very
funny. Yeah, because Paul Feig directs and he knows how to work with.
He's coming off. What's the
Bridesmaids?
No, well, yes, but he had just done.
Had he done the Heat?
The
was
Heat.
That before that?
I think Heat was.
I think
right
Heat is 2015. That sounds right.
Is
like,
that right
before?
And that movie's again.
Heat's very funny.
Bridesmaids and Heat are so good. Heat, I cannot recommend it enough. It's
really?
Very funny. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So he comes in to sell his grandma's trinkets, and little does he know that his grandma was like a protector of
she's a fire
walkers,
god.
And she has been tasked from generations down of handing down this orb that we had seen in the beginning. All the old-timey guys that were in the Collector Society, the Adventure Society, they had got their hands on this orb that had been protecting this demon from hundreds of years back. And so when she dies, he goes to hawk it for 50 bucks. The first one, he's like 30, and Ray's like, oh, this you got something interesting. He's like 50. Like,
like look at the he's like 60.
Yeah. Very funny. But he sells it to him and raises PKA meter and the thing like explodes. This thing is so off the charts with spiritual energy.
Yes. I know you guys are too young to think about this, but what did that orb look like to you?
It looked like a typewriter ball for electric typewriter.
The whole time I kept waiting for it to spin and type something out.
That's fun.
And whatever language that was on the thing. Yes, thank you.
So then, you know, they put that away. McKenna Grace has this relationship with this ghost that is continuing on, and we find out that the ghost is working for the ghost inside the ball, and they have this
machine.
And
that's what's in a Wonder Ball.
That's right.
Oh, it's like a Pokemon.
It is like a Pokemon. Yeah. That's a bad Pokemon.
So we should mention too that the spirit containment unit or whatever at the firehouse is full.
This is a plot from the cartoon, right?
The thing being full.
Well, it was getting full in the first one.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. You see it like struggling to keep up.
Is there a scene in any, I can't remember. I feel like it must have been the cartoon where they look in, like they had like a viewmaster where they could look
I think
into,
they could see him in the cartoon.
Is it the cartoon, right? Okay. Which is what I was like, just do it here. Like if you're going to make the cartoon.
Here's what I think would be a good plot point for the Ghostbusters sequels is that
going into the containment unit.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, but also like the Phantom Zone.
Like the idea of the containment unit is pretty cruel.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Sure. Just letting them live
because they're stuck in this place. It's not even purgatory if you believe in such a thing. Like these are ghosts that couldn't cross over, and you're locking them in a box. Metaphysically speaking, like it's pretty mean.
That could have been a whole plot point. You could add a whole group of people saying, like pro ghost, hey, you know, let the ghosts out. Yeah,
that would be a cool way to flip it on.
I gotta tell you, in 2024, there would absolutely be pro ghost. Get them out. Let them live their lives.
You locked up my loved ones.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, my grandma's in there.
They played something at the beginning of this movie that was hilarious. It's who was the guy in Silicon Valley?
Thomas Middleditch. Yeah.
He is like, you know, he's at his house and he sees the ghost of his wife for the first time. And she's like, I'm sorry. I love you so much. Can I at least kiss you? And she's like, yeah. And then four Ghostbusters bust in and bust her like in front of him. And he was like, she wasn't bad. And the guy's like, I realized as soon as I pulled the trigger that this was a bad idea. And then the guy's like daughter shows up. And she's like, Daddy, I miss you. Please, like, don't. He's like, I'll never let anything hurt you again. And then another Ghostbuster busts in and busts her.
That's pretty
good. He was like, yeah, that wasn't a good idea. I should not have done that. Really sorry about that.
So we find out that Winston Zeddemore, Ernie Hudson's character, is aware of this, and he has been making a new containment center with his team of people that has been, you know, trying to transfer all the ones from the old firehouse to there. And they say, you know, if we do this nonstop, it's going to take years or whatever. Like, it's a huge ordeal, but they're already working on it.
Yeah.
And so they have the orb. Ray has given it to them, and they go to this new facility that they have and kind of show us a bunch of new ghosts. You know,
I gotta tell you, that one, the shadow ghost, kind of creepy.
Yeah,
that was a creepy ghost.
Which one's the shadow?
The one that was like the demon looking thing that was like in the darkness.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah,
would like
yeah.
kind of look like a dementor.
Yeah, you got one that can possess any inanimate object. You have a little one that's like cute, but then he like barfs all this stuff on you. You know, just funny new, which is fun. Like, that's the part I like, is what creative ghosts can they come up with that you see? But you know, so they're kind of setting up all these ghosts we're going to see later, but they're building up this new facility to contain the ghosts.
Yes. And this orb is there. And again, we get the retread of the tiny Stay Puft Marshmallow Men.
Mm-hmm. And the minions.
See, they were funny in the first one because they were like little gremlins.
I liked them in the first one because it was a little touch of nostalgia, a little fan service, but then they were gone.
But it was also a tweak on fan service, right?
Yeah.
Like instead of making them giant, they made them small, even though it's a
minion
knockoff.
They were little mischievous, little funny goobers, you know?
Right.
And in this one, they're just like, oh yeah, remember those guys? They're here.
Here they are.
Yeah, they came from Oklahoma all the way to here.
But there was no reason to have them except for, like, remember they were funny and they sold Funko Pops. But in this one, they're not doing the mischievous.
Well, they are, but they're
for
like
the mid-credit scene.
Yes.
Okay, but throughout the film, you know what I mean?
They're all kind of locked up in this, aren't they?
Yes, they're all kind of loced up.
But I know, but like
somebody feeds them after midnight.
Yeah. But who cares then? Like, just it was only funny because they were like running around doing goofy stuff.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I didn't think they played well.
Like
at
the
all
one that melts themselves.
Yeah. And just like, and they're setting themselves on fire and they're jumping around. Like, that was a great scene.
Now that this orb is in with all these other ghosts, like, the other ghosts are like, want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Like, this ghost is so bad it scares the other
ghosts.
Well,
and here's the point. So, only a human can unlock the orb. Let's just jump right to
yes,
it.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
The not Jenna Ortega ghost character is trying to use McKenna Grace so that she can be possessed, so they have this moment.
Well, no, they take... Yes, you're right. They have this machine.
No, but you're right.
But, well, they have this... They have
I'm just
this,
trying to get right. to it.
They have a machine where they can pull
yeah.
a spirit out of this... possessed object.
Yeah.
So McKenna Grace hops into this machine because she wants to make out with this ghost.
Yeah.
That's what the whole point of going into this machine is.
So yeah. she has 2 minutes in heaven.
That's right.
Like, what's the point of committing temporary suicide?
Yeah.
If you're not going to kiss the ghost, you could stand there and just look at the ghost.
It was just really weird to be on the same plane, but for no reason.
Well, I think
yeah,
I could even accept the fact that the Bernie ghost, not Bernie,
like Bernie Sanders, the ghost of Bernie Sanders.
No, that would have been great. Not that I want Bernie Sanders dead, just the fact that there could be a Bernie Sanders ghost, that would be very funny. Well,
eventually.
Yeah, that's true. I could see where... that this ghost was setting up McKenna Grace the entire time, right? She's playing into her emotions. She knows that she's got her. And then as soon as McKenna Grace becomes a ghost, the bad ghost inhabits her body, right? So they don't get to kiss because that was never the plan to begin with. Mm-hmm. From bad ghost point of view.
She's queer baiting her.
That's exactly it. Like, that's kind of the way I took it. But there is a moment where this ghost says, do I have to do this to her?
Like, I think the ghost did like her.
I think so,
right?
too.
But
there wasn't... she just wanted to reunite with her family, yeah. so she was willing to
do whatever.
Do the bad thing.
And McKenna Grace was into this ghost, and she didn't have the opportunity to kiss her because she was already possessed.
For sure. So so the bad guy uses this possession to speak the words that can unlock the orb. And I guess we find this out because Patton Oswalt, yeah, he's in this movie at the library.
He's basically Ray 2.0.
Yep.
Right.
So, yeah. he says that only, this is whatever language and whatever, you know, so that's
like if he said ancient Sumerian, I was like, come on, man. But he's like, it's even older than Sumerian. Yeah. I was like, okay.
But that's, so he says, there's this language, whatever. So she speaks the words, the orb unlocks, and then we get big demon horn, which I think is a really cool looking creature.
It's a good design.
I like this movement because they tried to do the like stop motion type movement from the original stuff.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, that also was a puppet.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it looked really cool.
It was good. Cool.
Yep.
And basically, this thing is death. Like, it just freezes everything that it touches.
Although Ray says, didn't give a word for it. He goes, it's the power to kill with fear.
Yes.
But it doesn't kill with fear. It just creates icicles, you know? In fact, most of the people that seems to be injuring didn't even see it.
That's true. That's a good point.
Well, it's really scary because you're frozen. And so, like, you're preserved and you're awake, but, like, your senses are so slow. Maybe and then you're really scared.
But then they do a thing for a Terminator thing where the ghost. The freezy ghost goes into a place that's called like the Fire Master vape shop. And he's like, are you the Fire Master? And he's like, yeah, look at the
sign.
That
was a funny joke that the smoke shop was called Fire Master. Are you the Fire Master?
Well, it's a retread of the joke in the first one.
Yeah.
Like, are you the key master?
Yeah,
I am the gatekeeper. Whatever.
I thought that was good though. He's like, yeah, man, I'm the Fire Master.
But they can't the proton packs don't work against this thing. So they realize that, Camille Nunjani's grandmother had an entire back room that was just laced in brass.
And those jokes were very funny about the whole thing where he's like, these whips and chains are a sex dungeon.
Yeah. Please stop talking about
if this was
this
a sex dungeon, why would these be there? And like, that's exactly what would be in a sex
They had handcuffs and chains in here. Yeah. Why else would they be here?
That was a very funny interaction.
So they realized that McKenna Grace, again, being the smartest one in the room, the proton packs run off this certain thing, but they have to she has to take like parts of the reactor.
It's brass,
it needs to be copper or brass,
right? And so she takes
copper is really expensive right now, so
it's true.
Well, they actually make copper's
been stolen.
I found that funny because I'm like, so apparently it was deserted.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
So, but then the containment unit was still down there working all this time.
The whole time. Yes.
Whole
nobody wanted to mess with it.
Were going in there and stripping it. They left the containment unit alone.
Yeah. Right.
But Ernie Hudson bought it and cleaned it up. Right.
I think he kept it like running,
but just enough. You see, they were still struggling there at the beginning.
Yeah,
he was just
true.
Like, I'm not going to pay
for
everything.
We'll buy this property, but you teach them a lesson.
Actually, I kind of like that though.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. The entire time Finn Wolfhard's like, I'm 18, I'm an adult, and they're having like a leak, And Carrie Coon's like, yeah, you're 18, so fix it. And she's like, kid's like, cool, I have to put my hands in black mold. That's great. I love that idea. So McKenna Grace takes apart her proton pack and she dips like pieces of it into melted down brass.
She cut off
the fire pole.
She cut the fire pole, which magically reappeared, by the way. In fact, and all of a sudden there was two fire poles.
I did notice that there were two. I thought that was interesting. I'm like,
I thought she cut that thing down, and now there's two. Maybe they're magic. I don't know.
They're ghost fire poles.
Yeah.
So
that's why she liked to slide down it.
Hey.
Maybe. She's 15. Don't make those jokes. Wow.
The ghost was 16, so I guess that's still within.
That's true. I guess that's right? All right.
No, statue of ghost limitations?
Statue of ghost limitations. So the ghost ends up, he wants to take out Camille Nunjani. And they go to the firehouse, and all the Ghostbusters are there. All of the Ghostbusters are there. And McKenna Grace shows up. She's the last standing Ghostbuster. And she hits this ghost with the new proton pack that's got the brass-laced thing, and it stops it.
On sale now at Walmart.
That's exactly. Yes.
And this whole time, he's trying to learn the firebending.
Yeah,
Didn't really stop him, and then Kumail had to use his fire.
No, it stopped him.
And then he had to use the...
But she was running out of juice, and then...
Kumail shorted out.
But I do like that he's just like, can't figure out how to make the fire move, and he just like makes it move a little bit. And he's like, I did it!
And he's like, watch this, and he's doing it with the candle. It's like,
I like that Paul Rudd's even like, okay, like that's what we've got? All right. So yeah, Camille Nunjani shows up wearing the whole like
it was very fire funny walker. That he, yeah, picked out the whole fire outfit and garb, put it on.
And these two end up fighting together and fight off the ghost. They realize that they don't have a trap strong enough. But then have they always said that the containment unit is a giant trap?
I mean, why wouldn't it be?
They said that actually wouldn't. They showed the blueprint for it. They said it was a giant trap. Egon designed it as a giant trap.
Okay.
I mean, I figured it the. The traps work on the same premise, and it's just a portable unit to move them
from point A to point B.
To contain them and then put them in a larger storage device.
That's fair. We should also say that the containment unit gets cracked open because the deal is this Freezy ghost is going to basically corrupt all of these other ghosts and make them work for it. So we get shot-for-shot retread of the first movie when William Atherton turns off the containment unit and the big beam in the sky shoots out and
I love it.
Yeah, thought we had seen our last sky beam, but apparently not. Where all the ghosts are like flying. You know, it's the exact same thing. I think they may have even used the same musical cue, which is a great cue in the first movie.
Yeah.
They didn't use the rap from the second one.
They didn't, thank God.
Well, because the rap references... Vigo. Found out about Vigo, the master of
evil. Oh, it is, isn't
tried
it?
Tried to battle my boys. That's not legal.
It can't do that. Yeah.
Bobby Brown sang that in concert.
No,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He had a solo show and he sang that one.
That's man. That's
I think
hilarious.
That did really well, didn't it? Like, top the charts
for
a while?
I don't know if it was number one, but it definitely got played on the radio.
Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah, I was like, no, Ray Parker Jr.
Yes. But what is? Oh. I want a new drug.
I want a new drug.
Yeah. I want a new drug.
That's... at the Draft House, they talked about how they got sued like constantly for that song. It was Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis sued because it's
Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that was a joke. They were talking about.
But Ray Parker Jr. got sued by Huey Lewis because it's a retread.
It does sound.
I want a new drug. And then so he had to pay him a bunch of money, and then eventually Huey Lewis had to pay it all back.
Yep.
Because there was a.
It was an NDA, right?
There was a non-disclosure agreement as part of the settlement that they wouldn't discuss it, and he, like 30 years later, discussed it on Music.
No.
And that negated the terms, and he had to pay it all.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
I didn't hear that one. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But you know what? He enjoyed the money for 30 years.
Yeah,
so
he's all right.
He got his use out of it.
That is one concert that I regret not seeing. Like Huey Lewis and the News is one of my favorite bands of all time. Like
that's
when
the
I was
power of
that's love. So great. Like all that stuff, but I never saw him.
I saw him at
concert.
Mississippi Nights.
Yeah,
right in between Sports and Four.
That's where you want to see him.
And it was right before Four came out, and they were like an arena act at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And they played Mississippi Nights under a fake name.
Oh, wow.
And, like, it kind of leaked out that, like, there's a band playing Mississippi Nights, and the name was Sports Section.
Uh-huh.
And so we were like, we bought tickets, even though they wouldn't confirm it. And then we went, and, like, sure enough,
that's huge. That's awesome. Oh,
just wanted to play some clubs.
And now he doesn't play anymore because he's going deaf, right?
He's lost his hearing.
Yeah, which sucks.
He was supposed to play, we've got a little amphitheater in Alton. And he was, like, the big act for that summer. And then, like a month before.
Yeah, it was, like, 6 weeks before.
Yeah, 6 weeks before. They're like, nope.
Dang.
Melody turns on Garaka, realizing she did not intend to honor
the deal.
Garaka-Khan? I thought about you immediately. When I
How did she restrain him? I don't remember
this part. She gave McKenna Grace the match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For the fire.
She lights it, and then
somehow magically
Camille Ninjani.
I thought that was a nice payoff to the match thing.
It's weird that ghost matches work like
it was a real book of matches that somehow she was able to hold on to.
The book of matches was the thing that she was possessing.
But there was something magical about it, because you see her take it out and try to just light it, and it didn't work. She closed the book cover, and there was another match.
Okay, interesting.
That's true.
Yeah, because I remember in the beginning when she shows at the chess bench,
right,
and it's a ghost matchbook, like it's in her ghost form.
I don't know,
by the way, there was one scene with her that we kind of skipped over real quick that I thought was kind of interesting, where she was in a diner, was that it? And they get called, and then so now you've got Phoebe's like oh, I'm here to bust you, and oh gosh, this is the
ghost,
I've got a crush on, and then she kind of paused, and then she fired at her anyway.
Yeah.
And a podcast destroys, like, shoot her.
Yeah. Like, right. Destroys the diner.
Well, to me, that's the part where maybe, you know, Flame Ghost, whatever her name is, was like, oh, okay, well, if you're going to do this, then I might as well sell you out to...
Yeah, that would have made an interesting motivation.
If you're going to bust Ghost, then...
I think Human Torch was her name.
Yeah. It was Melody was her name.
Melody, okay.
But even going back past that... Where McKenna Grace is like, look, if I wanted to, I'm really good at this. Like, yeah, if I wanted to, I would have. And she was like, okay, fine. The
city thaws.
Everybody wins. William Atherton shows back up.
No, Garaka does not win.
That's true. He gets
busted. Just to be clear. Okay.
So yeah, we get
sort of he freed all those ghosts.
That's what I'm saying though. And it's just like the first one where the beam is set off in the sky. All these ghosts get loose. But
the juice is loose.
Mm-hmm. I do not want to see that movie.
I do. I can't wait.
I cannot.
I'm so excited.
I can wait as long as humanly possible. Well,
did they show that trailer before?
They did it for me.
We didn't get
trailers because it did a thing where the movie didn't start on time.
God.
And then it was like we waited like 20 minutes.
This is why people don't go to the theaters.
Yes.
I love going to the theater when it works well and the people behave. Alamo's a great example of this.
Yeah.
But the big chains, AMC, are so crappy about people on their phones all the time. The movie doesn't start. The projection's bad. It's like, and the prices are just as expensive as.
Yeah, I went out and said, hey, you know, it's been 10, 15 minutes. And they're like, okay, we'll get it going. And then it started playing at the point, already 15 minutes into the movie. Oh. You know, it was a scene with Finn Wolfhard, you know, I had to go back out. I was like, hey, you got to start that over from the beginning. And he goes, oh, shoot. And he goes and runs off. And
it's a mess.
It was a big mess. You know what? I guarantee you there's some projectionist that's at the theater right now, you know, gritting his teeth every time this happens because they don't have projectionists.
It's just a button.
Yep. Yeah. It's all programmed on timers and stuff.
Yeah,
so I went to Alamo to see this because especially after the last one, I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to AMC anymore. I just can't do it.
It is heads and shoulders.
It is. It's the best
experience.
Best in town, for sure.
It's because they
just don't
care.
Want to drive that far.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is why, like, sometimes I wouldn't do it, but then I regret it every time where I'm like, you know what? I'm driving that far and spending a little more on popcorn because I just have a terrible experience at AMC.
But do you spend a little? Because it's endless.
Oh, I spend a lot more, yeah.
But
I have $5 endless popcorn, or I have $10 plus $6 tip popcorn.
That's fair.
It's 15 versus 5. It's a lot more, and it's a little further away, but it's worth it.
If you get like 3 bowls of popcorn.
Yeah, but I get 3 bowls for $5 at the other place.
But these are bigger.
It's endless. I'm just saying.
And I got
to 11.
Wait, yeah, that's right. Does AMC have churro popcorn?
They don't.
There we go.
No,
my
point is
they've got flavored popcorn.
Oh, do they?
They've got, you can get caramel, you can get, they've got gourmet.
But Alamo puts little pieces of churros chopped up in the popcorn, not Mr. Salty's Sprinkle Bunch. You know what I mean? They have like really good.
We're going to trademark Mr. Salty's Sprinkle Bunch.
I'm not a popcorn guy. I'm more of a candy guy at the movies. Went out to Alamo once and I just asked for M&Ms. I assume a pack of M&Ms.
Nope.
No, it comes out, looks like a Chinese leftover container.
Yep.
With
M&Ms. A full thing of M&Ms.
I was like, this is the weirdest.
It is very. When you ask for
scooping with their hands and, you know, putting in here on it.
I bet that those are prepackaged.
Okay.
I'm willing to bet that they, because it is, you ask for like, they have gummy bears or Reese's Pieces, or M&Ms, and they come in like this little, like, Chinese takeout container,
but it's quieter.
It is
because a bag.
That's
oh,
it.
Does it make the wrinkling sound? Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
See, Alamo thinks about all this, and I'm serious. Like they put so much thought and care into the movie going experience.
Yeah.
And Kumail Nanjiani said he will come out and shush you if you do not silence your phone or if you talk. So
you at your AMC, you get those Nicole Kidman.
Look at my blanket I made.
That's
at Marcus.
At the Draft House, you get Kumail Nanjiani telling you, turn off your goddamn phones or I'm going to shush you. I'm going to embarrass you so hard that you'll want to leave the theater.
So Ghostbusters are back.
Yeah, the ghosts are out, much like the first
the
ones.
Loose.
No. And that's, they become the Spanglers. Like,
well, first, okay, the mayor's trying to show up and say,
yes.
Okay.
We're getting rid
of. We're going to arrest you all, and everybody's like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And
he's like, hey, Dickless.
Yeah. I will say the Phoebe calling him dad thing was so
bad.
I didn't even mind it.
Hate it.
That was not earned.
Especially
whatsoever.
When we just saw a version of this in the Haunted Pool movie. Was it?
Oh
no. The movie where that wasn't Insidious, where they go into the weird zone.
The red door.
Imaginary.
Oh, imaginary.
Yes.
And it was like, she should not call him dad.
No,
he is not her dad.
They're not married.
She can love and respect him, and he can give her away at her lesbian wedding, but
ghost wedding.
Yeah, but she's not his dad. I mean, he came into her life when she was 13, 14 years old.
Right. I got to say, just personal way I grew up. I had a stepmom between ages of 5 and 15.
And that's pretty young for her to come into your life.
And I never called her mom.
Right.
I probably should have because she was my de facto mom.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, she raised me, but I never called her mom.
But I don't care if people decide to do that. You can do what you want to do. But my point is,
it's weird at 15, and I've known this guy for 1 year.
Yeah, it is.
Andy was your teacher.
But it just didn't get earned in the movie either. Like, the point was he wasn't getting called dad, and then
he didn't even necessarily want to be called dad. He was just trying to figure out what the dynamics of the relationship were.
Not only that, she wasn't privy to his whole conversation. Remember where he thought she was on the other side of the door?
I felt like it came out of nowhere.
And he was doing this whole thing of like what our relationship was going to be. She didn't even hear any of that. She wasn't even there.
And now he's dad all of a sudden. I just thought it felt so forced.
It would
maybe
be
she's saying as a joke. She's like, thanks, dad.
That would have been fine.
Yeah.
That's telling a joke.
It was just a forced, unearned emotional button.
Do we know like where her dad is? Do they ever reference in the first one?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But it's different if the movie had a script where there was a conversation between the two of them. She's like, I'm not ever calling you dad. And then all of a sudden they share a moment and then it's like, okay, dad. Like, there's no payoff in this because all of a sudden she just does that where we have no history of her not calling him dad, thinking he's dad. Like
being conflicted about whether or not she should see him that way. Like, nothing.
Yeah, and they play it off like because the end of the first Afterlife had such a good pull at your heartstrings moment.
Right.
They're like, we need this thing. And he's like, oh, do you hear what she said? And it's like,
what I did like is that he calls himself, like he calls them the Spanglers.
Yeah.
Like his name is like Guberman, but he's like, no, we're the Spanglers. And Carrie Coon's like, oh, are we? We're the, okay.
Yeah.
But I didn't think about it being a longer episode of the cartoon, but that's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
Just overstuffed. It would have been a lot more fun if he would have taken out all the extraneous
things, and
the callbacks.
Yeah.
I didn't need any of that. And otherwise,
you could give me William Atherton as the mayor.
Eh.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That one works.
That makes sense to a certain degree.
Yeah. Failing upwards.
Also, he wasn't as
dickish.
Me, yeah. By the way, I was watching, I still have cable. I was watching Ghostbusters on AMC the other night. They cut out the dickless.
The dickless line, thing, yeah.
But they left in the blowjob.
Yeah.
For one, AMC, they're. Anything goes anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could say the F word on there now. I was like, why?
Because that's the edit that they were supplied and nobody questioned.
Yeah, they did that on Walking Dead. The edit left in the ghost
dropping
DJ,
the F bombs.
It was like weird.
But that is funny that they. Yes, it's true. This man has no dick. Like
it's great.
It's a perfect line.
And in the edit, it's like, it's true. This man is some sort of animal. It doesn't even make any sense. Right.
It's like
it makes no sense.
It's the major
CIA, Mr. Falcon,
mother trucker, or it's the major league one was like, strike this guy out.
You know what happens when you find a stranger? This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Yes, that's a great one.
Is that really what that is?
That's from Big Lebowski.
That's what they say?
When John Goodman is taking a golf club to the car or whatever?
Yeah.
This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
You know, there's a great, so I saw a photo from one of the Lebowski Fest. You know, people do the costume contest.
Yeah.
Someone did Stranger in the Alps. So they were, because that's the name of Sam, what's his name's character in there, the cowboy.
Sam Elliott. Yeah.
So they had him in like Lederhosen, but with a cardboard outfit.
That's pretty good. Yeah, the stranger.
That's a good joke. I like that. Yeah, this is, it was a good time at the movies. Are there problems with it? Without question. If you just go in and you're wanting like a fun, lighthearted Ghostbusters movie, then you're going to be fine. If you don't have high expectations, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. It's just a shame because I think the last one was so good. I think they really could have done something.
I like this one better than the last one.
I like the last one better.
Mm, okay. This is my problem with the last one. They leaned really hard into the nostalgia and it was like this family drama and I was like, is this what Ghostbusters is supposed to be about?
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the thing.
It was done very well. I'm not saying it wasn't done well.
I don't
go to Ghostbusters and go, oh.
Right. Ghostbusters, the original, it's a slob versus snobs comedy.
It's exactly what it is.
And it's all it ever wanted
to
be.
It's Revenge of the Nerds. It's Porky's. It's Meatballs.
It's Animal House. It's Stripes. It's just that, but with ghosts. And I think so. I had joined a Ghostbusters Facebook group and left it.
You poor bastard!
Because was such a show.
It's crazy how all of these little MC, you know, Snyder Bros.
It's a personal affront to them that someone might not love this movie as much as them, and they've all decided this movie is great on Wednesday. Right. Like nobody had seen it yet, and they're so appalled that critics might. Not like it.
Just like all the other Ghostbusters movies critics didn't like.
Yeah, right? And I was just like, I got to
get
out of here.
Matt F. Bowsler loves going into those things.
Yeah.
And just reading comments.
I mean, he goes in there to stir the pot?
No. He just likes to read the comments.
But I think what it really comes
down
to
us every once in a while.
Is that there are people, I think the diehard Ghostbusters fans really love the lore and the characters, and like
that's fair,
but like the lore and the characters aren't that deep or complex. I don't feel like it's a rich enough world to embrace to that degree. And so, like, and everybody else, I think for the most part, just wants to see a funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I mean, I've kind of made my peace with the fact that, like, really, I liked the first movie.
I love the first movie.
After that, it's just kind of like.
Okay.
Same way. And that first movie, I couldn't even put a number on how many times I watched it.
Well,
because back in the 80s, you know, VHS weren't that common. We had maybe six movies on VHS.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters was one of them.
Yeah.
My brother and I watched it all
I mean,
the
it was
time.
So expensive to buy a VHS.
Yes. We bought these used bucks. From, it was like a place at mom and pop place.
Yeah.
Down. We bought that used.
And it's like, if you bought one, it was going to be, it's like when you first got CDs, you were only going to buy Greatest Hits.
Yes.
Or Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
Because it's like you wanted something where you knew every song. And movies were like that. If you're going to suck it up and buy a VHS for 80 or 90 bucks, like you're going to get a movie that you know you want to watch repeatedly,
over and over
like
and over.
Ghostbusters or Airplane.
Yeah. Yes.
But same. And I probably saw this movie came out the summer before
84?
I turned 14. So, like, I mean, I probably saw this movie four or five times just in the theater.
In the theater, yes.
Like, I would just
I've told that story over again. They must have re-released it because I saw this in theaters. Yeah, well, did. I saw a little bit of it in theaters.
Yeah.
You had a ghost that was reaching in the hole in your popcorn bucket?
No.
Your dad made you leave during the blowjob?
Nope. I got through the blowjob. No, wait. Well, it depends.
But it wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, it was in the movie. Oh, well, I was with my aunt.
Oh,
so.
I thought this, never mind. No. This was a different story.
No. Okay. I was a kid. Yeah. Like a kid, okay, a little kid. Gotcha. And the scene, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't like things changing into other things. Lou Ferrigno into the Hulk. No, thank you.
Wolf.
American Werewolf. American Werewolf. No, thank you. The Wolfman in Monster Squad.
I hated some like it hot.
It was terrible. Yeah. The Wolfman in Monster Squad. No way.
Teen Wolf 2. Jason Bateman.
Teen Wolf 1. I was like, nope.
I know.
I'm just going to fast.
Teen Wolf 2?
I never saw that. Okay. Nobody did. but there, the scene in this, when the claws come out of the dog, my aunt tells us, she's like, you looked up at me and said, I'm done.
Oh,
and
wow.
We got up and walked out. And because I couldn't, you know, I was.
Okay.
But
that's
like,
funny.
But in 84, I would have been 2. So I'm like, there's no way that they took me to the theater at 2 years old. And I was.
Or that you would remember.
I was cognizant enough to be like, I'm done. But I don't want to watch this anymore.
I had only seen Ghostbusters 2 once. And then I rewatched it. And I'm like, this is why. I've seen that first one so many times.
Yeah.
And I watched the second one. And I hardly remembered any of it. And I'm like, this is awful.
Yeah. And another thing that was bad about that, and I'm sure you remember this, there was a long gap between those two.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean, because what, 84?
4 and 89?
89 or 90, was it?
I don't think it was 90.
I think it was 80s. 89.
Was it? Okay,
still,
so it's not as
but
long
5
as
years
thought.
To
five
wait,
five
and then
years.
You're like,
well, okay, I was thinking
because they couldn't get Bill Murray
that.
Back on board. Bill Murray back.
Yeah, you're, that's exactly right.
And that shows in that
and
movie.
They've never really been
he
able to
walks
get back
through
since.
That movie like he doesn't give a.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's bad. He's not good in the second one. He doesn't want to be there.
No.
And it shows. And that's when I'm like, this is lame.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't want to be there in the first one.
That's true.
Really? Not even the first one?
No. The deal was he wanted to make Razor's Edge. And the studio was like, well, that sounds like an awful idea. And they really wanted him in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And because Ghostbusters was originally written to be an Aykroyd Belushi movie.
Right. Mm. Right.
And then obviously Belushi would not sign the deal.
I wonder why.
Because he was dead.
That's right.
And so he retooled it. And then it was going to be.
It was Chris Rock, right?
No, Eddie Murphy. It was going to be Eddie Murphy because he had just worked with him in Trading Places.
Right.
And then Eddie Murphy passed so he could do Beverly Hills Cop so he could headline his own movie because he had just
Can't
done.
Blame him.
Like
it's two, a good choice.
He had just done 3 movies where he split billing, right? Because he had done 48 Hours.
Oh, sure.
He had done Trading Places.
Have you watched that recently?
I mean,
it's like holy
the verbiage.
Yes,
in it?
Yeah.
Because it is
Nick Nolte
crazy.
Is,
Nick Nolte's character
is terrible,
straight up racist. Yeah. But like, I will also say it still kind of works because it's not trying to be cutesy. It's like this guy's a dick.
Yes,
and they have to work together, so it still works. But it's definitely jarring.
Boy, oh boy,
it is jarring.
But
Trading Places.
But Trading Places, and then he made Best Defense with Dudley Moore.
Oh, I don't think I've
he made
seen
so
that.
Much
I've
money
man,
on those
I
Beverly
totally
Hills.
Forgot about that.
Yeah,
one.
And then that was that one tanked hard.
Yeah,
which is probably why I've never seen.
And
that.
Then he did Beverly Hills Cop and bounced right back.
Well, that was
it's crazy
his biggest hit at that point, wasn't it?
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, more so than Trading Places.
Oh yeah, I mean it's probably his biggest hit to this day.
It's so much money. Yeah.
It's crazy to think that Landis is coming back for that.
Yeah, that is weird.
Like, and Eddie Murphy was. He's like, I'm never working with him again
after Vampire in Brooklyn. Hey,
would not work with him. So I'm kind of. Look, I know I love John Landis, early John Landis, new John Landis, not very good.
Murderer John Landis.
Yeah.
Child killer John Landis. I am very interested to see what this movie looks like.
Same. But so I don't even remember where I started off.
Oh, you're talking about Razor's Edge. He wanted to, one for me, one for you.
They traded off and that he agreed to do Ghostbusters in order to do
I might watch
Razor's Edge.
And tonight. Razor's Edge was okay.
Yeah.
I like the original version.
The interesting footnote on Razor's Edge, there's a scene where he's giving a eulogy, and he's like, this man was fat and dumb and nobody liked him, and that is almost word for word, that whole scene is the eulogy he gave for John Belushi.
That's right.
Yikes.
And also, it doesn't really fit in that story. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. But I want to say for Ghostbusters 2... Like, I think had he just gotten divorced and he needed the money?
It could be.
Well, I mean, had he had a hit?
I know that life. Yeah.
I mean, was this what was the movie he did with Richard Dreyfuss?
What About Bob?
What About Bob?
Was that's, this around that time?
No, this would have been later because that was in the 90s.
What About Bob was in the
90s? What About Bob is in the 90s.
Okay, yeah. So Groundhog Day, like that whole little run.
That's in the 90s as well.
Scrooged?
90s.
Was 80s?
No,
I think that's 90s.
Scrooged is early 90s.
Wow. 91, okay, well, 93 maybe? He has a very interesting career.
Yeah.
Because he would do kind of like those screwball.
It's weird that he's been canceled so much recently, but they're like, but for Ghostbusters, he's back, and no one talks about
well,
it. But it's
I
like,
don't know. When he showed up in, it's not like my theater was that crowded last time, but I didn't hear a pop.
Yeah, you know I just don't think people are that into him anymore.
Well, he was also all over the trailer, so there's no surprise to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
So let's see. So just looking at his resume from 80 on. So he's in Caddyshack, and then he's in Loose Shoes. He's in Stripes, Tootsie,
I love Stripes.
Ghostbusters. And then 84 is Ghostbusters, Nothing Lasts Forever, whatever that is.
I have
is.
No idea what that is.
And then The Razor's Edge. And then he pops up in one scene in Little Shop of Horrors in 86. Yeah. In 88, he has an uncredited scene, and she's having a baby, which I don't remember. So
a good movie.
Scrooge is 88. Okay. Ghostbusters 2 is 89. 90 is Quick Change, which you've never seen. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It might be my favorite Bill Murray movie.
Okay.
Wow, really?
Okay. I would agree with
Quick
that.
Change so much. And then 91 is What About Bob? Groundhog Day, Mad Dog and Glory, Ed Wood, Kingpin is 96.
Kingpin is
he
the turn.
He was great in Kingpin.
Yeah.
Kingpin is the turn, though, where he starts doing those weird.
See, I think Rushmore is the turn.
Oh, sure.
Because it's like Kingpin.
That's fair.
Larger Than Life, shot in St. Louis. Space Jam, The Man Who Knew Too Little.
Bad.
I forgot he was in Wild Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And then Rushmore.
Once he got in the Wes Anderson stuff, he became the cult figure, the Chive and all that. So Bill Murray says he got tricked into starring in Ghostbusters 2. I joined under false pretenses. I thought that the only reason anyone would make another one was just to make money, and I was probably the most reluctant. Someone outfoxed me anyway. I don't know if Ivan set it up, but they got us all back together in a room, and really, we hadn't been together in a room since the movie came out, and it was really, really fun to be together. We were really funny together. Those were some really wonderful, really funny guys and girls. Sigourney Weaver, Annie Potts, there's some really spectacular women and funny as hell. They got us together. They pitched us a story idea that was really great. I thought, holy cow, we could make that work. Murray agreed to star in Ghostbusters 2 based on the pitch, but that pitch never materialized into what would become the sequel screenplay. As the comedian explained, it ended up not being the story they wrote. They got us in the sequel under false pretenses. Harold had this great idea, but by the time we got to shooting, I showed up on set and went, what the hell is this? What is this thing? But we were already shooting it, so we had to figure it out. So they pitched him and wrote a different script.
That's a legit complaint, and I'm sure that happens.
Now but I'm curious what the pitch was.
Murray's got a history of saying he got tricked into movies.
Oh, Garfield.
Was that Garfield?
That was the biggest beat line of BS.
Yeah. Where he thought it was a Coen Brothers movie. Yeah.
Sure you did.
Well, because it's directed by Joel Coen, but it's...
Oh.
But it's a different one. It's spelled different.
Yeah, it's like C.
And also... Really? Do you really fall for that?
Then explain Garfield 2.
Yeah, exactly. Also, read the script. Does it look like a Coen Brothers movie? Does it sound like something they would do?
This is why you have agents and not answering machines.
Yes, thank you. Right? That's right.
Also true. But anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21, and on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/TomOKeefe. Matt, where can they find you and your wares?
You can find me on Instagram, MattReedy219.
And so don't forget, you can find the show online at facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, I close my computer.
Oh, my God.
My computer, wake up.
Until next time, the Wolfman has nards.
The Wolfman does have nards. Until next time, Larry stows away in Mary's trunk.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.